The doors are locked. The disciples are in hiding. They know that Easter happened. They listen to Mary Magdalene. But resurrection is still something they've only heard and they might have thought about. It's not an embodied reality for them yet. It's not something that they are living out. They are still acting as if death may still have the final word. Into all of that, Jesus comes. He stands in their midst and simply says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his wounds. The hands, the side, the place where everything broke open. It's the way he is truly known to them. Because you see, resurrection doesn't erase the suffering. Jesus still bears his wounds, but they are changed. They're no longer signs of defeat. They have become the very place where God is revealed. In seminary, I remember learning about the long and sometimes surprising tradition in the church of taking that seriously, of lingering and thinking about the wounds, especially the wound in Jesus' side. The point was not to dwell on the violence, but to recognize that in these wounds, life flows. Or to borrow from Joseph in the Old Testament, the one with the dream coat, out of something that was meant for evil, God produced something good from it. The 18th century Moravians in particular leaned into this idea with an intensity that may make some of us uncomfortable today. They spoke of the side of Christ as a place you could enter, a refuge, even a home. They imagined the believer drawing near not just to look, but to dwell held within the mercy of Christ's wounded love. They were fascinated with Jesus' wounds, especially what they called his little side hole, affectionately. They described this wound as warm and beautiful and sweet. They wrote hymns about it. They created art around it and centered much of their devotion on it. And if that all feels like a bit much, it might, it's worth asking what they were trying to say. They were trying to share that the deepest place of Christ's suffering is also the safest place for us to be. His wounds are not something to avoid. They have become where grace is. Which then helps us see what Jesus is doing in that locked room. He's not there simply to prove to the others that he is alive. He's there to invite the disciples to encounter him through the very places where he was wounded. Only Thomas isn't there. And when he returns, he cannot quite believe what he's hearing. "Unless I see the mark of nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." History has made Thomas the problem in the story. But that's not right. He's not rejecting faith. He's just refusing a secondhand version of it. He wants the same encounter that the others had, the same nearness, that same reality. He wants to touch the wounds. But beneath it, there's a deeper question. If resurrection is real, what happens to everything that has broken us? Is it erased? Or is it somehow taken up into something larger? So, a week later, Jesus comes back just for Thomas. We've got same room, same locked doors, same greeting. And then he turns to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out and put your hand in my side." This moment is about showing who this risen Jesus is. When Thomas sees and touches, he doesn't just say, "Oh, okay, I believe now." He says, "My Lord and my God." The one standing before him, the one whose body still bears these wounds, is not only human, not only divine, but is fully both. Not divided, not split, the same one who is crucified is the one who is risen, and the one who is risen is truly God. These wounds belong to God. Which means that what Thomas encounters is not just a miracle. It is the mystery at the center of everything that we believe. That God has taken on human life so completely that even death and even the marks of death are carried into divine life and transformed. The church has never read this story as something that is sealed off in the past. They saw it as the pattern of how we meet Christ now, over 2,000 years later. Notice when it happens. The disciples were gathered. And then again the next week, the disciples were gathered. It's what we do, week after week on Sundays. And it is there in that gathering that Christ comes into their midst. The same Christ who stands among them offering his wounded body is the Christ who continues to give himself today, not just to be seen, but to be received. In the Eucharist, the church has always confessed that we are not merely given a memory of Jesus, but we are given participation into his life. With this in mind, the old Moravian language takes on a new meaning, because what they intuited, albeit very vividly, is that to come to Christ is to come close enough to be held within his mercy. To find in his wounded side not something to recoil from, but a place of rest. And that's not so far from what we do each week. We come forward, we receive, we are in the deepest sense drawn into him, into his life, into his love, into the mystery of a God whose wounds have become our refuge. Week after week, we are given more than just reassurance. We are given Jesus. Because this is what Jesus does. He comes back through locked doors, into doubt, into longing, and he offers not just proof, but himself. Wounded and risen and still giving his life to the world.